From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Good to be back behind the microphone here in Washington, D.C., after having a couple of weeks of partial downtime with my family. We had a great time as a family during Christmas and New Year's, without question. My favorite time of the year. Maybe I'll talk more about that later. Well, it has been 12 days, not since Christmas, but since the partial shutdown of the federal government on the Saturday before Christmas. President Trump remains resolute, saying the U.S. needs a physical barrier, which is why he is demanding $5 billion for the wall and border security. The president had this to say on Fox.
We are not giving up. We have to have border security, and the wall is a big part of border security, the biggest part.
We'll talk with Republican Congressman Don Bacon of Nebraska at the top of the show. By the way, he has asked that his own pay be withheld during the shutdown. At 22 past the hour, I'll be joined by our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin here at the Family Research Council about President Trump's call to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria. The president has momentarily paused that order. Why is this significant? Well, we'll talk about that. And what are the Christians in Syria themselves saying about the announced withdrawal? At the bottom of the hour, I'll talk with Mark Harris, the Republican from the 9th Congressional District of North Carolina. That seat has been in limbo since the November election. They have yet to certify a winner between himself and the Democrat, Dan McCready. Is there something bigger at play here that could be a harbinger of 2020? We'll talk about that with Mark Harris a little later here on Washington Watch. And we'll start off the new year in our final segment with your phone calls. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find all kinds of things there at the website. Also, if you're not getting my daily update, it was on hiatus for about a week and a half. It is back. If you're not getting that, you need to sign up. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Or you can also follow me on Facebook. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said last night that the plan of House Democrats to reopen the government was a non-starter. In fact, she called the proposal the Pelosi plan and said that it fails to secure the border and puts the needs of other countries above the needs of our own. Sanders went on to say that President Trump made a serious good faith offer to Democrats to open the government, address the crisis at our border, and protect all Americans. We've heard nothing back from the Democrats, she said. So far, they have refused to compromise. With us now is Republican Congressman Don Bacon of the 2nd District of Nebraska to give us an update on this partial shutdown of government over border security. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Happy New Year's to you. We're back in D.C., and we need to get this tackle this thing head on.
Well, let me ask you before we jump into the heart of this, did you have a little bit of a partial break during the holidays?
Yeah, you know, I sure did. From Christmas to New Year's, I ran every day about 5 miles. And had a lower, definitely a lower pace, but it's good to be back because we need to get this thing resolved. And frankly, we couldn't do much because this is really between President Trump, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, now Kevin McCarthy, and the Majority Leader McConnell. It's really negotiations between these five. But if one side refuses to negotiate or compromise, well, we're going to have gridlock, and that's what we have right now.
Well, there's something different about President Trump. I mean, he does not go to the negotiation table telling people that he will surrender. He doesn't go waving the white flag. And I think this is something new for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, that you actually have a Republican who is willing to go to the mat and stick to his promises.
Well, that's true. He said he wants $5 billion for a border wall to go with their overall border security plan. And let's just be candid here. The Border Patrol, they don't want a 2,000-mile wall. They're looking at about 500 miles total when it's all said and done in key spots that will help them do their job, which will help us not only with immigration issues, but fentanyl, ISIS that we know is transiting through Central America, through Mexico from Brazil, after they make their journey from the Middle East. We have also human trafficking, so it's broader issues. But it's only areas where the Border Patrol thinks it's precisely needs to where a wall needs to be. And he said, hey, give me another offer. It may not be $5 billion, but they say not a single dollar. I heard that from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And that is how you get gridlock. They need to come back with a counter offer and saying not a single dollar for the wall. Well, that means we're going to be remaining to be shut down, if that's their position.
By the way, Congressman Bacon, you mentioned the issue of human trafficking. I was over the holidays back home in Baton Rouge talking with some members of the Homeland Security Task Force in Baton Rouge, and they were discussing with me the issues of human trafficking, how bad it is with especially girls, females being trafficked across the border, where they're able to move them in and out relatively easily. And this has become a huge problem. And if it's in Baton Rouge, you know, they're saying it's all across the country. So this is not, it's not just a matter of border security, which obviously is very important in terms of our own national security. But we're talking about the well-being of literally tens of thousands of people who are being abused because they're being trafficked across that border.
And traffickers have found a loophole. If they bring small children, they know they get extra privileges in the process because we're not going to just send them back across the border. And we often have to just release them if it comes with a family with small kids. So the traffickers know this, so they are incentivizing bringing children across. So this is the reality. We have to tighten these rules. That's got to be part of the comprehensive immigration plan that we need. But this is, like you say, not just strictly an immigration issue. This is a security issue. We also know that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are definitely, they have small numbers any given day trying to transit, you know, over the Atlantic into Brazil, mm-hmm. through Mexico into our border. And so it's if we ever get a terrorist attack from this, this dynamic will change, this debate. But we shouldn't, it shouldn't
well,
take
you,
that to
you
require
think
a wall.
It. You think it would change, but I'm not so sure it will, because you mentioned the issue of the loophole with people bringing small children. We worked with, I personally met with the Attorney General, former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, discussing that issue when that was a big issue back last year. And when we talked about the use of DNA testing at the border, I mean, there's you can, with the technology, you can almost immediately, within an hour or so, you can determine whether or not there's a connection. And those on the left pitched a fit about using DNA testing because it was an invasion of privacy. So I don't think there's anything that will bring them to honestly deal with the issue on the border.
We need that DNA testing and other biometrics that will protect the children. It also protects our country because we know many of the terrorists in the Middle East have their biometrics, so if we can take them at the border, we can more quickly tell someone's a threat or not. It's got to be part of the tools that we use. And so D.C. used to work this way. Both sides would compromise, and neither side would get fully what they want, but neither side would get zero. We have to go back to some semblance of that it's all right to compromise. And so the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, need to come off the not a single dollar. And this is an opportunity to do a more comprehensive plan. But to dig your heels in and say zero, that means we'll have gridlock. And I think I support the president. We need to move forward on this. Maybe not $5 billion, but we have to be prepared to take a compromise. But zero is not an option.
And that's essentially what the president has said. Give me a counter offer. Let's negotiate. But as you mentioned, Senator Schumer has said not $1 will be given to the border security enhancing that. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Said that yesterday.
Yeah. So reiterating what Schumer has been saying. Congressman Don Bacon of Nebraska, my guest here on our first live program of the new year. As tomorrow, Congressman Bacon, the new Congress, the 116th Congress, is sworn in, and the gavel will pass hands from Paul Ryan, and we anticipate it will go to Nancy Pelosi. What changes are you anticipating in the 116th Congress?
We're going to go from 241 Republicans down to about 200 Republicans, and the Democrats will have a 235, 240, or 200 advantage, roughly. There's one seat still in question, as you mentioned on your update. But we're going to see more investigations. You're going to hear more about impeachment. And instead of that, I wish we could figure out a way that both the Senate and the House, Democrat and Republican leadership, work together on where they can find agreement on immigration issues, lowering drug costs. But no, we're going to probably dig into this trench warfare of immigration and impeachment. And I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see a divided government at its worst.
Now, regarding the partial shutdown, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel here? I mean, tomorrow there's going to be a continuing resolution will be introduced that would fund, this is what I'm hearing, that Democrats will introduce this continuing resolution to fund Department of Homeland Security through February the 8th, in addition to a legislative package to fund the remaining agencies through the end of the fiscal year. Do you see agreement on that with Republicans, or is it just the Democrats going to drive this through the process only to have it hung up in the Senate?
Well, they will drive it through the House with a 235-seat majority, or 235 to 200. They stay unified, will be able to do that. What I think will happen is we probably should fund those other segments of government, like the State Department, the Interior, with our parks, but leave Homeland Security not do the CR, a clean CR. I think we have to get an agreement there. And so I think we should lock horns right there and get an agreement, find a compromise. But I would be amenable personally for those other sections that are caught up in this, like the State Department and the Interior, and there's four others or three others besides those two, that maybe we can get those funded with the budgets that we've already passed out of the House and the Senate and get those done. So that would be what I would personally recommend. We're going to have a meeting here at 6 o'clock or in about 45 minutes and to discuss this, and I'll learn more because those are just the facts I have at hand.
Now, you mentioned the margins here, and it takes, just for our listeners' benefit, it takes 218 votes in the House to essentially pass a piece of legislation or something else. So the margins, 235, I believe, is the number,
right?
Something around that. That's actually less than what the Republicans had. And I mean, the Republicans had some difficulty at time with the conservative element of the House. The Democrats have a liberal segment that's going to give Nancy Pelosi fits. Do you see them having difficulty at times coming together?
I think they will. I mean, so we had 241, and then we went down to 240 because we lost one special election. And they're going to be at 235. We had about 30 congressmen that were on the Freedom Caucus, but we also had about 50 or 60 in the Tuesday group, which are more liberal side of the party. They're going to have very similar issues with about 60 on their very progressive wing, and I think that will drive them eventually. And I think what our voters will see is a much more radical far left House with Nancy Pelosi in charge eventually, which will work to our advantage here in 2 years. But we'll see. I hope it's not that way. I'd rather see stuff get done. But I think the progressive wing, about 60 Democrats, will drive their party.
Yeah. Well, we hope things get done if they're good, but if bad, not.
Yeah, I agree. It should be.
Congressman Don Bacon, as always, great to have.
Thank you.
Yeah, very, very true. Great to have you on the program, and I look forward to talking to you more in the 116th Congress. All right, folks, don't go away. More to come here. General Jerry Boykin joins us next to talk Syria. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We're inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a Stan member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website tonyperkins.com. Glad to have you back on this Wednesday afternoon. All right, just before Christmas, the president announced that they would be withdrawing 2,000 U.S. troops from Syria. Now, this created a lot of concern. We were hearing rumblings of this prior to the announcement, and concern because this region of the world, Syria, a lot of Christians that were targeted by ISIS fled the country, and some are coming back to rebuild. And this is very important from a standpoint of the geopolitical atmosphere there and long-term stability, because in the vacuum of an absence of religious minorities, it allows ISIS and other radical jihadists to take over. Now, remember, this is also the cradle of Christianity. Christians have been here in this region going all the way back to the beginning. With us now to talk about this, I can't think of anyone better to explain the situation there and why this is an important matter, is our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He is one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. He then commanded all of the Army's Green Beret, spending a total of 36 and a half years in the U.S. Army, and he served his last 4 years as the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. General, welcome back to Washington Watch, and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, and Happy New Year to you.
When are you going to shave?
When are you going to shave?
Well, I don't know.
I'm waiting for you. You go first, and I'll follow.
We'll see. All right, let's talk about this. The president drawing some pushback from his supporters, including us. And I know you did a lot of TV during the break about this. Lindsey Graham, who I think on foreign policy issues we pretty much line up with.
Yeah, I think so.
And life issues. I mean, he's a little different on some things. But on this, I agree with him, as I do with probably 90% of the things. We've got some concerns. Why is this important, what's happening in Syria?
Well, it's important for a number of reasons, and let me kind of jump to the finish first. I think the president is sort of modifying what we all understood him to say, and I think he's slowing this whole thing down, and that is good. I'm glad that he has. Why is it important? It's important for a number of reasons. Number one is you've got a lot of Kurds there, and we know that the Turks have for years used the Kurds as really – to go after and to blame them for all the unrest in Turkey. And they've killed Kurds, and they've chased them, they've pursued them, they've run them out of Turkey. then you got a lot of Christians. And the Christians there are primarily Muslim background believers. That means they converted from Islam to Christianity.
Which makes them a prime target for people
Absolutely,
like ISIS.
Because they are apostates.
Right.
And they're there because they were run out of their villages, and they took refuge there with the Kurds and the Americans. And
the Kurds, by the way, I mean, they're the most organized in terms of the indigenous folks over there providing the protection.
No, they're the fighters. They're the primary fighters there. Now, there's some Christians fighting too, but they're the primary fighters there. And keep in mind, this is an issue of American honor that's at stake here, because we left the Kurds without any support after the first Gulf War, and Saddam Hussein killed over 30,000 of them. We left them 7 years ago when Barack Obama pulled out precipitously out of Iraq. We left the Kurds up in northern Iraq. And then with no support whatsoever, and then when we tried to send supplies, arms, ammunition, medical supplies to them, it all went to Baghdad and therefore went to Iran and the Shia militias inside Iraq. So, but the other thing is this, Tony, what you don't want to do is cede this territory to Russia and Iran, because what you do is you give Iran a pathway to Hezbollah in South Lebanon, unimpeded, and that means they will continue to supply them with missiles and rockets in a much freer way than they have with the American presence there. So that is not a good idea. And then finally, when you say ISIS is dead, you better know, you better be sure, because the theology is a 1,400-year theology, and it is not dead, and they can reconstitute very rapidly. And there are still several thousand in Iraq and Syria.
I would think that, as you pointed out, the pathway that this creates for Iran to continue to target Israel, that Israel would obviously have a lot to say about this.
You know, Tony, I don't know, but I bet you that there's been a discussion between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu on this, because they are very concerned about it. The Israelis know that Trump is their friend. He's supported them. But they are very concerned about this, and I think that there's probably had a discussion about it.
What happens to the Christians, General Boykin, that are in that region? And by the way, I mean, it's a very small percentage of what it originally was, because they've been driven out. Mm-hmm. But some they want to stay there. I mean, it's their home. And and they don't want to come to America. They don't want to go someplace else. They want to be able to live securely. Right. And that's in part what the American presence has done, working with the Kurds. Right. What happens if the U.S. pulls out?
Remember that it was a Christian country, just like Cairo, like Egypt. It was a Christian country before it was a Muslim country. What happens, they head across the border. They head back primarily towards Turkey, get across that border and seek refuge. And they're the one organization, and you know this from your work on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, you know this, they're the one organization that the U.N. doesn't want. The U.N. doesn't want to do anything to support them, and it's a sad state of affairs, but it's the days that we live in. So they wind up trying to get across the border there, or they get killed. And if you take the city of Mayalula, which is the oldest Christian city in the world, they still speak Aramaic. It is essentially destroyed, because before all of this happened, the Muslim groups went in there and destroyed the city. They killed the priest. They raped the nuns. A group of nuns took the children, all that they could round up, and took them up into caves until a relief effort could be sent in. And that city essentially is no more. And it was the oldest, Christian city in the world. And that's what's going to happen to all the Christian enclaves in there, is that they're going to be run out and brutalized.
Well, as you mentioned, the president kind of stepping back a little bit from that decision. So we'll see. As Lindsey Graham said, he feels much better about the announcement or any withdrawal based upon more facts. So as more comes available, we'll talk more about this. General Jerry Boykin, as always, great to have you on the program.
Good to be with you.
All right. All right, folks, don't go away. Coming up next, I'll talk with Republican Mark Harris in the not-yet-certified congressional race in North Carolina. What's behind it? We'll talk about it here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year. Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com. By the way, the Syrian Christians appealing right before Christmas to Christians in America to weigh in with this administration, not to abandon them by pulling out our military. Now, we're only talking about, there's only about 2,200 troops in Syria, primarily as advisors and providing support, but it's a significant presence. And now the president, in his defense, you know, promised to withdraw American troops from places like Syria. So he's following through on that promise. We just need to make sure it's done in a way that does not jeopardize that region, Christians in particular, other religious minorities, not just Christians, it's other religious minorities. And he has put ISIS on the run, but as the general said just a few moments ago, they're not done yet. Let's finish the job. And I think that's going to be part of the president's legacy, is that he finished the job when it came to ISIS. All right. One of the congressional races that's yet to be decided. Now, we're talking, you know, this is January. This was November. It's the race in the 9th Congressional District of North Carolina. Republican Mark Harris ran in that district against Democrat Dan McCready and won. There were allegations of ballot fraud, and the Democratic-controlled Elections Commission refused to certify the election. Well, that board, which was investigating, was supposed to have an upcoming hearing to decide this, was disbanded by the Democratic governor. It's really kind of hard to figure out what's going on in North Carolina, but I have a suspicion that because North Carolina is such a key swing state and was so important in 2016, that this might have something to do with 2020. And Mark Harris is just caught in the middle. He's joining us now to talk more about it. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, it's always good to be with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. Happy New Year to you. I know that probably on the top of your list of things you'd like to see resolved in 2019 is the race for the 9th Congressional District of North Carolina.
No question. I am very anxious to see this thing resolved and anxious to get to Washington and represent the citizens of the 9th District of North Carolina as I was elected to do.
All right, give our listeners the latest. What's happening there in North Carolina?
Well, I'll tell you what. We always say in North Carolina that if you don't like the weather, stick around, and in about 10 minutes it'll change. And I think that could be the same description that could be given to this whole fiasco that we are finding ourselves in right now, Tony. Even as late as the last couple of hours, the story has shifted again. As you were alluding to earlier, there was a three-judge panel that on Thursday night of last week, basically two Democrats and one Republican, I might add, and all three of them voted unanimously to take the State Board of Elections and its chairman to the legal woodshed, if you would, and just really wrote a stinging order that they had ignored the deadlines that the court had placed on them to bring this thing to a conclusion and to make a decision. And basically, they announced on that Thursday evening that they would be just dissolving the Board of Elections at noon on Friday. And that's exactly what they did. And so noon on Friday, we have found ourselves without a State Board of Elections. Over the weekend, the governor had indicated he was going to name an interim board, only to be challenged on the constitutionality of that, that he really didn't have that authority. We do have a document that our state legislature passed, or actually the governor over vetoed it, and they overrode his veto on Thursday of last week as well. And it has a new State Board of Elections set to be appointed by January 31st, but actually to not officially take position until May 1st of 2019. And so we have found ourselves in a position that we're trying to follow protocol. We're trying to follow the process. And so we are now in a position where we are going to file a writ of mandamus tomorrow morning before North Carolina Superior Court in Wake County, and asking for that writ that that I be certified and that the State Board of Elections Executive Director grant that certification under court order. And hopefully that's going to happen. We're just taking it one step at a time.
Now, once you get across that hurdle, then it's up to the House of Representatives here in Washington to accept the certification of the state. Is that correct?
That is correct. And, you know, that's going to be one of those things that may very well, once again, like this whole situation has become quite fascinating. It may expose some things if there's a challenge to that. You know, we really believe that certification of elections is the work of the state. And we believe that if we get the state certification, that there is a certain obligation on the fact of the U.S., on the part of the U.S. House of Representatives, to seat me as a duly elected congressman from the 9th District.
Mark, we're up against a break. Can you hold on for a couple of minutes? I got a couple more questions for you on the other side of the break.
Sure, I'll be glad to do that.
Okay. All right, folks. Mark Harris from the 9th Congressional District of North Carolina is going to stick around. I hope you will as well. We're going to finish that conversation, then go to the phones here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stan member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Or you can keep up with me on Facebook. Okay, Mark Harris of North Carolina's 9th Congressional District is on the phone with me. He is the he has the seat, the only seat that's yet to be decided in the House of Representatives, even as Congress is sworn in tomorrow. It's been an unbelievable series of events there in North Carolina since the November election. Now, Mark, the allegations of voter fraud, you said, look, if we recount and do whatever you have to do, I'm for free, fair elections. But when you look at the numbers, even if all these things, these absentee ballots that's in question here, it just doesn't appear that there's any way that the outcome could switch. There's just not enough in the margins. Doesn't appear to me.
Well, yeah, and I think, Tony, that's exactly the point that we've been making. We've made it clear from the beginning of this thing, which really kind of came out of nowhere as we were going through orientation. You remember orientation up in Washington the first week, and then came back, and we went through the second week. There hadn't been a single complaint that had been lodged in this race by North Carolina statute. If somebody sees any kind of irregularity, they certainly have the right to protest, file a complaint. My opponent had not only not filed a complaint, but had conceded twice in this race. And so, again, we were caught a bit off guard. But to your point, from the time that we found out of the allegations that were made, we made it very clear that we were going to cooperate in every way and look forward to a very open and transparent investigation. And we certainly wanted to get to the bottom of any wrongdoing. And we continue to do that. In fact, I'm scheduled this week to actually meet with the state Board of Elections staff. There is no state Board of Elections, but thankfully there's still a staff that is at work. And I'm looking forward to sitting down and talking to them before week's end. And having a conversation about anything that they want to talk about.
Now, Mark, I want to ask you one final question here. I know in the election you drew opposition primarily because here's a shocker. You were the pastor of First Baptist Church in Charlotte, and you actually preached the Bible. That was a shocker to some people. And so they came after you about that. So there was some, you know, if you want to say controversy, there were people manufactured controversy around that. But what you're experiencing now is at a whole other level of opposition. And it's hard to say, I would just say this, based on my view of this, or from my vantage point, I should say, where I see the governor making some decisions that I think are actually beneficial to you, and he's a Democratic governor who's not supportive of you. But then there's decisions being made by others that are not favorable towards you. This is not, from my viewpoint, does not look to be about Mark Harris, but there's something much bigger here, and I think it has something to do with 2020.
Well, I definitely think that you could make that conclusion based on some of the things that we're seeing. I mean, again, by North Carolina statute, the Board of Elections has always tried to look first and foremost at the outcome. Would the outcome of the election be changed by the number of ballots or the things that, as you've already pointed out, would typically be in question? Unfortunately, to just kind of see an election that doesn't go your way and you just suddenly throw out an accusation long after the time for any true complaints or protests has passed definitely leaves a bit of a question that if they were successful at pulling this off, you know, North Carolina is one of those states that is a divided state. I mean, I think personally it's more red than it is blue. But there are certainly plenty of people that will say that it's very purple. And when you have a state like North Carolina that is purple in some people's minds, it's a place where big decisions could be made in terms of even just claiming any race, from governor to U.S. senator to even president of the United States could be called into question. And could you imagine if our 13 electoral votes were called into question over some of the things that my election's been called into question over? That gives you something to really think about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mark, how can folks find out more about your situation and how they can be supportive of you in this process? You have a website?
Well, we do still have our MarkHarrisForCongress.com. I certainly encourage them to go there. They can also check out our Facebook page through that and links there, as well as Twitter. And we're keeping them informed. That is the best way right now to know what's happening. As I'm said to you when we started, this thing is changing faster than the weather in North Carolina. And so we never know what each day is going to hold. So, but right now, we're hoping, we're praying, we're believing that God's going to make a way. And we're hoping to see that sooner rather than later. And I'm anxious to get up there to Washington and stand for the very principles and the values that we work so hard alongside you, Tony, to see happen in this country.
Well, we look forward to you being here in Congress, seated as the congressman from the North Carolina's 9th district. As I let you go, this is a costly undertaking. You have some of these cost lawyers, others, in order to fight this. And so folks can still make contributions at your website, right?
Yes, they still can. And we continue to make contributions to our campaign through that. And we are in the process of setting up a legal defense fund as well. And if they go there and they want to email us to get more information about that, we should be able to give them that information in the days to come.
All right. Mark Harris, as always, great to talk with you. And I look forward to seeing you here in D.C. very soon.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you, buddy.
All right. Mark Harris from the North Carolina's 9th Congressional District. All right, you got a few minutes here. I'm going to take some phone calls, and here's what I want to talk about. Shifting gears completely from what we discussed so far today is it's 2019, new year. A lot of people make resolutions. Here's a question I have for you as you think about this new year. How are you going to exercise your freedoms to protect your freedoms in 2019? Did any of you make resolutions to do that, to actually use your freedom to protect your freedom? How might you do that? Let me know. Give me a call. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And if you haven't thought about it yet, it's not too late to make that resolution for the year. We're only the second day into the new year. So, hey, Go ahead and make that resolve today. Give me a call, 866-372-7234. How are you going to exercise your freedoms to protect your freedoms in the year 2019? By the way, just going back this for a moment to this race in North Carolina, I do think this is extremely important. 2016, as our longtime listeners know, we were very focused, our action arm at the Family Research Council, very focused on North Carolina, spent a lot of time there, a lot of resources, knocked on a lot of doors, turned out a lot of conservative-leaning vote in that state, organized a lot of churches in that state. And by the way, Mark Harris was our lead culture impact team trainer there in North Carolina. I think this is more about 2020 than it is the 9th Congressional District. Now, I do think that's an issue, but I think that this is bigger than the 9th Congressional District. I think this is about North Carolina, and I think it's about the presidency in 2020. And Nancy Pelosi has already said that she's not going to seat Mark Harris. We need to fight for this, and we need to stand with him. I encourage you, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, Mark Harris for Congress. Follow the links over, however you want to get there, but stand with him. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Jacob in Mobile, Alabama. Jacob, welcome to Washington Watch.
Happy New Year, brother. How you feel?
Oh, thank you. I am great. Great to be back behind the microphone, but I also enjoyed the downtime at Christmas and New Year's, just enjoyed being with the family. But I'm resolved to use the freedom of this microphone to protect the freedoms, my freedoms, and the freedoms of all of our listeners and all Americans in 2019. How about you?
Oh, man, all is well, brother. See, the main thing is that we serve a God of balance. And sometimes we forget that, and the ones that pay the price is our families and sometimes our constituents, you know. But I think one of the things we're going to have to do is, like, Billy Graham, you know, may he rest in peace, said before he left, he said, if I had it to do over again, I'd do more praying and less preaching. And we have to pray to get through this, because we're going to have the courage to make it through 2019, mm-hmm. to stand up for that border wall, and really think about the people, the angel families that have lost people because of it, and stop thinking so much about ourselves. And that's how our blessings come to others, thinking about others.
Very good, Jacob, and a very good reminder to pray. In fact, our whole team here at the Family Research Council, starting off the year by reading the book by our good friend Carter Conlon that we talked about during the holidays, It's Time to Pray. We're all reading that as a staff, as a team, and focused, renewing our focus on prayer. So, Jacob, great reminder for all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to focus on prayer. By the way, if you haven't gotten a copy of Carter's book, I encourage you to do so. And I can say this because I know Carter. If you heard the interview, if you hadn't, go back to the archives. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Go to the archives. I forget exactly what day it was that during the break that we had him on. But I know him, and so I've seen the fruit of his ministry and how God is working in him and through him and how remarkable it is, and how he tells a lot of the backstory in this book as he lays out the biblical mandate and instruction to pray, but he also gives the examples of how God has worked in a remarkable way through his life, through prayer. So Jacob's absolutely on point. Some of the things that we're faced with will not be resolved by action alone. It will require prayer and, I would add, fasting. Prayer and fasting. And Mark, a passage where the father was concerned about his son that the disciples couldn't help, and Jesus said, you know, look, these type of things are only resolved by prayer and fasting. And that's really the center point of Carter's book. All right, let's go to Kansas, where Kevin is on the line. Kevin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good to talk to you today. I was a little bit off topic for what you were requesting, but with this
this government shutdown, unless I miscalculated, I thought I heard it was like 25% of the budget for the people that are, the government's federal budget that we're knocking out each day. And at that rate, if my calculations are right, approximately based on a 2015 budget anyhow, approximately 2 days would more than cover his $5 billion request for the wall. So, we ought to have covered it just by the amount of people we're not paying. Granted, I hear they're going to repay them once they get back to work. But anyhow, that's my thoughts on the matter.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate the call. And if one thing I have found in my 15 years in Washington, D.C., is that words and descriptions are not always accurate. And this has been talked about when we talk about a shutdown. Of course, this is a partial government shutdown, just a few of the agencies, and it's non-essential employees and portions that are shut down. Of course, I wonder if it's not essential, do we really need it anyway? But as Kevin pointed out, all of this is made up later once the funding is done. So the funding, what will happen is that once they reach some kind of agreement, the funding will go back to the date of the Saturday before Christmas, and all of the stuff that happened anyway will be funded. And so government shutdown? Not really. It's still functioning. There's some issues with some federal parks and some stuff like this and that, which, again, all the employees that worked will be funded back. Will they save some? Maybe a little bit. But if it were a true shutdown, Kevin's point is right. You would already recoup that amount of money. This is, $5 billion. It's not, yes, it's a large amount of money, but not by government standards. This is more about who's going to control Washington, D.C. and the agenda. And this is where I give the president credit. I think he is right to do this. Because he is sending a message to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer that you're going to have to deal with me. And I am not going to be pushed around. And I think this is very good at the beginning of the 116th Congress that he is establishing the parameters. He's defining the debate, not Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. This is different than what we've seen in past Republican leaders. I, for one, am grateful that we have someone who is standing up on principle and not being pushed around and allowing the American people to be pushed around as well. All right, folks, out of time. Want to thank you for joining us. Look forward to talking to you again. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.